All right, that was Myles Garrett on the Rich Eisen show. Was that during Super Bowl week?
Correct.
Well, now we're at the Combine, and he did say in that clip, it's not about the money. He also said it's not about the record, and then he said it's not about anything, basically. It's like, well, it has to be about something.
He also said whichever city you're in.
Right, yeah. Right. So
he's all over the place.
Yeah, that was Myles then, and he was making the rounds. I remember at the time, I made note that, hey, he didn't attack Cleveland. He didn't really attack the organization. He was just like, we're not really on the same page. I want to win now. He's basically saying, I don't think you guys are going to win.
It was very LeBron-esque, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was covering his bases.
100%.
Plausible deniability. He didn't want to seem like the bad guy. And it was crazy, Tom, in the history of us doing radio in this town or on this station, and I've been listening my whole life to Cleveland radio, I had never heard fans like they were the day after he came out with his press release. I had never heard fans stick up for the player.
More supportive, yeah, I agree with you.
Especially the loyal Browns fans.
Yeah.
Now, some of that's eroded.
It has, because he went on Radio Row and spent the week kind of not disparaging the organization, but certainly talking down and talking bad about, you know, what was happening here.
Well, it just feels, and I guess I'd ask the question, 216-474-0092, because I want to talk about leverage and get into that, because he's doing a very NBA move. But today, I want to ask Browns fans, does Myles Garrett still feel like a Brown to you? Everybody was vouching for him the day after, and now when I say it's eroded, I've seen, granted, a lot of it's on social media, but even when I'm texting with my buddies, I've seen some people kind of jump to the finish line with him. Now, they're not burning his jersey yet. I haven't seen anything like that. But I have seen a bunch of people say, yeah, you know, we thought you were one of us. Now, you're no longer one of us when you continue, you know, this discussion. Now, yesterday, it was the report from Mary Kay that it's over, that it's not about the money. There's going to be no more negotiation. It's not about a contract extension. So that was what he could do to volley this back to the Browns. But you right now, Tom, I mean, you're still in the media space, but you're also a fan. Does Myles Garrett feel like a Brown to you?
Yes, but barely. I'm really interested to see when he makes his next, you know, public appearance here. I'm kind of waiting for that moment where he's courtside at a Cavs game and I can stalk him and track him down at halftime and find out exactly what's going on. So
it's kind of noteworthy. He has not been there.
No,
as a minority owner of the franchise.
Yeah, he's letting his side play out these negotiations in the media, which is I think is always a dangerous move. In terms of the leverage, you know, from the get-go, Anthony, I was a little surprised that he would be so public with this, because he was almost hurting the Browns' chances to move him by establishing that there's this conflict there, right? And I don't think it looks good in terms of his legacy to him to come across this way. I think from a PR standpoint, to your point, he's taken a hit here. I think there was some initial support, but I think that has eroded to a degree. And, you know, we'll see what's next. I don't know what the next right-hand move in this story is, but certainly one is coming. And I think it would have to be when we find out who's making offers for him and what's on the table in front of the Browns. And if they're not taking it, why not?
I have said all along, I would prefer the prime time, the premier draft picks in next year's draft, not this year. And a lot of these deals that I keep hearing with, man, the Buffalo Bills, the Philadelphia Eagles, like to me, if I'm an Eagles fan, yeah, it'd be great to have Myles Garrett, but you just won a Super Bowl because of your strength in numbers, kind of like the old Golden State Warriors.
Right.
You had so many guys. The minute you go get Myles Garrett, you know, A, you're making a trade. So
Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah.
Same kind of, yeah.
Right, so you're not even going to, you're going to lose draft picks. And even though they're at the end of the first round, in the NFL, you can get plenty of good players at the end of the first round. You're now deviating away from what your ability, what your advantage over everybody was, just because you want one dominant player. Like, I don't think the Eagles make sense at all.
Let me ask you this from a Browns standpoint. What's your starting point? What gets the phone call through? What do you have to get right off the bat?
Is it
two first-round picks?
Well, yes.
Minimum, right?
Without a doubt. Now, here's the interesting one. Like, the Bears have, you know, a top selection in this year's draft, and you're betting that the Bears will be bad again, you know, even with Myles Garrett, that they're not necessarily going to solve everything. So you could get a first-round pick next year that still would hopefully be in the top third of the league, top half of the league. Like that's pretty good. It's going to be hard for the Cavs, especially with Miles attempting to call his shot. Like, I only want to go, and he's mentioning Jaden Daniels. Yeah. All right, well, they were just in the NFC Championship game. What good does that do the Browns, a pick like that? And you would think Washington, especially in the NFC, they're going to be good again next year.
Right, which is why I think you are the Browns. You just you dig in and you ask for as much as you can possibly get your hands on. So did you said you would want the picks not for this year, but for going forward, for 26 and beyond?
Yes. You definitely have to look towards the future on something like this.
Could Myles Garrett get you your franchise quarterback via trade?
I'm hesitant to go that way because, like, do you think Matt Stafford? Are you thinking, like, in a Matt Stafford deal?
No, I'm thinking you got to get a much younger, right, kind of proven. I'm trying to think of...
So who is that guy that gives you...
Justin Herbert type?
I can't imagine, like, Harbaugh came out of college to go coach that dude.
I think Harbaugh would trade for J.J. McCarthy tomorrow.
So you think... Well, then now you're talking about a very fluid situation.
Yeah, I think there are several of those, to be honest with you, around the league, Anthony. I think there's a scenario by which the Browns could land one of those kind of guys.
Hard part is, okay, great, I have Herbert. Now I don't have Myles Garrett.
Right. And so Herbert, we're starting over there, yeah.
Herbert, without a great defense, and even with some of the premier pass rushers he's had, still has not been able to really win. So where does that get you? Where you're staring at Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow in your division, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. That's the hard part about it. Makes it interesting. Like, now you got a quarterback that can actually play the game, can play the sport, and you feel formidable. You feel like he can go toe-to-toe with all those guys. But over the course of a season, man, it stinks that you had the formula. You had the pass rusher. You had the loaded team.
Exactly.
You had the running back.
You had the running game, right?
Yeah. 216-474-0092. Let me think about that a little bit. You've got me on my toes a little bit. Cool Ray in Bedford. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, fellas. I'm going to try to make this quick, but I got a lot of information. Like, first, I'm a Browns fan. I'm 52. So I've been there since, you know, Brian Sipe. This Myles Garrett does feel like a Brown to me. This organization doesn't feel like the same organization I watched growing up. So that's the problem. Now, Myles Garrett has all the leverage here. People just don't see it. All of it. And when fans say he has none, they don't know what it's like to be an athlete. I do. Like, Myles Garrett, the only leverage the Browns have, they don't have to trade him. But they have to pay him. Like, if once the new season starts, if they don't trade him, once the new season starts, they have to give him his roster bonus. Then he can go, you know what? I was playing injured on this, a bad Achilles and his bad foot. I'm going to start having now doctors evaluate. So now I'm going to go through 8, 9, 10 different doctors to tell me what I need. And then when I hear, okay, you know what? Let's start having surgery. Then I'm going to go to surgery.
Do you think he is willing to do that? Do you think he's that type of guy? Remember, Kyrie threatened the knee situation, which forced the hand of Dan Gilbert. In this case.
You know what? Absolutely. Because here it is. You guys are all, and every some of these fans are assuming that he wants to leave because of a quarterback. What is the one position you can't get in the draft? That's a coach. If Myles Garrett was actually worried about a young quarterback coming in, he would be here. He don't want to be here because he doesn't believe in the coach. And we've been saying it for years, and now that when that report came out and the players rated their coach and their team, we all see it. We just don't know what's actually going on, and it doesn't really matter.
So you think, if they would have said, we are firing after 3-14, we're firing Stefanski and we're elevating Mike Vrabel to head coach.
And Myles Garrett would be here. And I'm going to do something better for you. I'm about to give y'all a guarantee. You don't got to worry about Shedeur Sanders or the other top quarterback. I guarantee you they won't get the Browns. Because what's going on behind the scenes is that nobody, and I know you guys love Stefanski, this guy is not a quarterback whisper. I'm surprised that nobody on this station has thought about it. We have been through 22 quarterbacks.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I thought he was going to start. I'm sorry. So I thought he was going to start listening off to quarterbacks. Tom, do you love Stefanski? Do you love Stefanski? I like him.
I like him a lot.
And I'm not in love with him. No. I think there are better coaches in the league.
To that gala, you know.
I do want to go to the gala again. It was a great fundraising effort over the summer. I think there are coaches I'd rather have over him. I'd like McVay. I'd like Shanahan. You know, there are guys.
You do list constantly coaches that you like more than yeah. Kevin Stefanski.
But I like Shannon, I like Stefanski a lot more than some other coach. So
he got graded as a C by the players, yeah. right? Which tells you he probably got a few A's and a couple of D minuses and F's thrown in there, right? And it kind of balanced out. I'll tell you guys this, and I'll tell Cool Ray this. When I talk to players in the locker room that I can trust, and I can talk to them on the side, and I ask them whether or not they believe in Kevin Stefanski, it is a resounding yes. And I'm talking about veteran players, young guys, everything in between. And so when I hear that from players, that's all I can go on, right? I'm not in the meetings with the guy. I don't know what kind of a leader of men he is. I've seen what he's put on the football field, and at times it's been a little bit wonky, to say the very least, right? The penalties last year, the pre-snap stuff.
It was bad last year.
That was
year.
All. It was inexcusable, right? There's also, they've had some terrible luck. I've also seen him start and win with five different quarterbacks, including a veteran who came off of his couch and took the team to the playoffs. So when you talk about quarterback whisperers, what exactly are you talking about there? I think he's good at developing young players. I think his staff has been good at developing young players. Whether they've picked the right players or not, that's a whole other argument.